From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak today. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Christ, the End of the Law, part of this series on the law of God. In Romans 10, verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." As he began, Dr. Cairns explained that the aim of the law is Christ for our righteousness. In other words, the purpose of the law is to stir up men to seek Christ for salvation. God is satisfied with nothing less than a perfect righteousness, and as we'll see today, Christ perfectly kept the law of God in his life. As a man, he was made under the law, and he alone rendered perfect obedience to it. We'll hear Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to listen to this brief devotional message from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will praise Thee, O Lord. Praise should always follow answered prayer, as the mist of earth's gratitude rises when the sun of heaven's love warms the ground. Hath the Lord been gracious to thee, and inclined his ear to the voice of thy supplication? Then praise him as long as thou livest. Let the ripe fruit drop upon the fertile soil from which it drew its life. Deny not a song to him who hath answered thy prayer, and given thee the desire of thy heart. To be silent over God's mercies is to incur the guilt of ingratitude. It is to act as basely as the 9 lepers, who, after they had been cured of their leprosy, returned not to give thanks unto the healing Lord. To forget to praise God is to refuse to benefit ourselves. For praise, like prayer, is one great means of promoting the growth of the spiritual life. It helps to remove our burdens, to excite our hope, to increase our faith. It is a healthful and invigorating exercise which quickens the pulse of the believer and nerves him for fresh enterprises in his Master's service. To bless God for mercies received is also the way to benefit our fellow men. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Others who have been in like circumstances shall take comfort if we can say, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Weak hearts will be strengthened, and drooping saints will be revived as they listen to our songs of deliverance. Their doubts and fears will be rebuked as we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They too shall sing in the ways of the Lord when they hear us magnify his holy name. Praise is the most heavenly of Christian duties. The angels pray not, but they cease not to praise both day and night. And the redeemed, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, are never weary of singing the new song, Worthy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy, holy.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
The Bible, especially in the giving of the law, does not seek to pamper sinners. It seeks to convict sinners, to drive them outside of themselves for hope, so that feeling their utter, absolute hopelessness, they will be ready to receive the greatest revelation God could ever give to man, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the aim of the law is to make every sinner know that only in Christ can he ever be made righteous and acceptable to God. And of course, the law has the very same aim for Christians, to point them to Christ. The law of God reminds us that it is a perfect righteousness that God demands for any man to enter into heaven. And thus, it reminds us that apart from Christ, we have no righteousness. Thus it grounds our assurance not in ourselves, not in our religiosity, not in our rituals, not in our best efforts, but in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It directs us to Christ as the ground of our acceptance. It directs us to Christ as our example in holiness. It directs us to Christ to receive the motive power to obey the law. God can use His law to point us to Christ. For He who satisfied the law can satisfy our need of a righteousness that satisfies the law. Bless God for an all-sufficient Savior. And the law of God, remember this, has one fundamental aim. That is convincing men and women of their own sin, to stir them up to flee to Christ. That's good news, because the second thing we note is that Christ perfectly kept the law of God in His life. Time forbids that I expound this at any great length, but let me outline for you the Scripture's teaching. He was made under the law. Galatians 4 verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. It's one of the great expositions of the meaning and the miracle of the virgin birth. He was made of a woman, made under the law. Made under the law. So He was subject to it. He said, Matthew 5:17, that He came to fulfill the law in all its righteousness. And He did. I came not to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In Matthew 3, He said to John the Baptist, when John demurred at baptizing the Lord Jesus, He said, "Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to do what? To fulfill all righteousness." And when He was baptized, what happened? There came the voice from heaven, the Father saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So He came to fulfill the righteousness of the law, and He did it. It's very interesting that in Romans 5, Paul contrasts the righteousness of Christ with the sin of Adam, and the obedience of Christ with the disobedience of Adam. When you look at Christ's life, you find nobody could find fault with Him. Neither God, nor devil, nor man. God said, "I am well pleased in Him." The very devils said, "Thou art the Holy One of God." And among men, neither friend nor foe could find fault in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because in Him the moral law found its absolute fulfillment. Didn't He say in John 8:29, "I do always those things that please Him"? He showed perfect love for God and perfect love for his neighbor. There's the absolute fulfillment of God's law. Attacked by all the fury of hell. And could I interject there? We know nothing we know nothing of the full fury of hell in its tempting power. But all the concentrated arguments of the devil, all the attacks of the evil one, were brought together in a mighty thrust against the Lord Jesus. And attacked by all the fury of hell, he never suffered one shadow of impurity or of sin to soil his soul. The devil hissed blasphemy in the ear of the Savior. He hissed rebellion in the ear of the Savior. He bombarded him with all the darkness that hell is capable of. And yet, he never allowed one shadow of impurity to soil his soul, in mind, in body, in motive, and in action. The Lord Jesus was and continued to be throughout his life the sinless servant of God, the perfect fulfiller of God's law. He kept the law of God in his life. But further, he perfectly satisfied the law of God in his death. His death was a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. Listen to how he described it himself. Matthew 20, verse 28, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Fulfilling Isaiah 53, verse 10, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." It's an amazing statement. If it weren't made by the Holy Ghost, I don't think any one of us would dare to make it. "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." Not merely it was God's purpose, that would be true, but it was a good thing to God. How could God ever say that? I can't understand, except that he loved us enough to consider it a good thing for God to bruise him and to put him to grief. "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." Do you see it? His soul an offering for sin. His life, which is the same word, became the sacrifice for sin. When he gave his life, it was as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. Even as Paul said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. I'm often drawn to the second chapter of Hebrews. And if you look at verse 10, then 14, then 17, you'll find that the apostle gives three great statements. "It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." How did the Lord Jesus become the Savior of sinners? How is he the perfect Savior of sinners? By entering deeply into the suffering of the cross. Verse 14, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." How could God suffer? He couldn't. He could not suffer. God is pure spirit. He is light in whom there is no darkness. And no man could make God suffer. But to suffer, the Son of God became a man. He took into union with himself a true humanity. And in the flesh, our Savior suffered, bled, and died. Verse 17, wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. For what reason? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus died an atoning death. And in that atoning death, he drank the cup of God's wrath against sin. I pointed out this morning at the communion table that in Gethsemane there was a cup the Savior did not want to drink. I'm not going to digress to the various explanations of the cup in that place. But obviously there was a cup he did not want to drink. But concerning the cup that he drank on Calvary, he said in John 18, verse 11, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What was that cup? It was the cup of the wrath of God against our sin. To put that in slightly different words, he suffered the full penalty of God's law against sin. Galatians 3:13 says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. I want you to get the picture. These are words that are so well worn that we let them slip right over our head. The Lord Jesus Christ took the cup of God's wrath that you and I should drain in hell forever. And he drank it dry. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the curse of the broken law. He took the penalty of the law which we had broken. The penalty that should have found us, found him in our place. He bore the curse of God's law. And that's an important verse because it tells us, thus the law was satisfied.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.